Welcome to That's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Joy, I am filled with joy.
Are you?
To talk about today's episode.
Okay.
Because it is all about one of my favorite things to do, which is to sleep.
Sleeping is not a bad use of your time, I have to admit.
Let's talk about sleep, because sleep is so important to so many things. It's important to creatures of all kinds, including human creatures, which we are, because we are all animals. And that's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Everyone sleeps. Everyone, including bodies, human bodies, animal bodies.
Yes.
Everyone gets some sort of rest period, and it's universal. We need it.
That's right. And there's so many different types of sleep, hibernation. We're going to learn all about hibernation in all its many forms today. So welcome to That's Wild.
Yay.
Yay.
Sleep episode.
That's right. The sleep episode. So I have to point out, we got really cozy for today's episode. I'm excited about that. We're in some cozy attire here today. I see you have your house shoes.
I do. They are so lovely. I did buy these for myself, but I'm used to getting them as gifts from family members. But these are great. They're the kind that I can flip up to actually encompass the whole foot.
Oh.
Or I can just have it as a slide-in mule. So it's a
slide-in mule. Okay.
Type of house slipper, and it's very comfortable.
I love my house shoes. Matter of fact, I love my house shoes so much.
So much.
That one morning I got in my car on my way to the zoo, and I was halfway to the zoo when I realized that I was still wearing my house shoes, and I had to turn all the way back and come back to the house and put on my regular shoes.
You're the director. You could have worn those shoes if you want to.
Yeah, hey, you know, show up to the zoo in house shoes. That would have been fine, right?
Sure.
But, you know, I've got them on today, so why not, right? Why not? But I've got my little friend here that I'm borrowing from you, so thank you for letting me borrow one of your little sleep props that we've got here today. And so you were also telling me about one of your favorite little stories about Bella. And some of the matching sleepwear that you had with her.
So I'm going to remind myself to stop telling you stories about me since they happen to pop up.
But first, we want to know who Bella is.
So Bella was my boxer dog that we had. We had her for almost 8 years. Unfortunately, she passed away from lymphoma, which is a common issue with that breed. But I was saying that house shoes have typically been presents for me. I bought these for myself, though. My sister-in-law used to always put little packages together for Christmas of sleepwear, you know, like a robe, a nightgown, slippers, things like that for Christmas. And one Christmas, my in-laws are from Nebraska. And so she bought me a Nebraska Huskers sleep shirt and purchased for my husband some Huskers sleep pajamas. And then for our dog, Bella, she had a little jersey.
Oh, not the Huskers.
Yes.
Not a Huskers jersey.
Well, you know.
Don't tell me. Were y'all all in matching?
We were matching.
The dog, you and Lester, all matching.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah, it was cute, though. And there is no evidence on the internet, so don't try to sign it.
I'm going to be looking for that.
Yeah.
But that.
But yeah, so.
Looking for that stuff.
That was an awesome. Shout out to Tiffany, my sister-in-law, for always thinking of us and getting us nice things for Christmas.
Oh, that's great. Well, welcome to That's Wild Podcast. Don't hit the snooze button, because I am Susan Altrui, and I am very excited to explore the science of sleep here with Joy Matlock, my co-host. And we're going to be talking a lot about the animal kingdom today.
We even have our sleep things to, you know, promote theme for today.
So yes, we do. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about that. Have you ever wondered what it's like after hours at the zoo?
You know, I've had fleeting thoughts, like when I first started working at the zoo. Is it like night at the museum, you know, and I'll leave, we'll get, the animals, they go, you know, go to each other's hats. But no, with our animal professionals at the zoo make sure our animals are locked up.
Tucked away
in their habitats. And, you know, they've got the food for the evening. So I think our zoo is pretty quiet and calm.
Right. But there are some animals that do hibernate. Did you know that during hibernation, a bear's heart rate can drop as low as 8 to 12 beats per minute? That is unbelievable. Look, I'm gonna be doing this all through today's episode. So just get ready for the puns.
Well, thank you for that warning. And bears can go through months without eating or drinking or passing waste while they're in hibernation. I think that's pretty possum.
Yeah. Okay, you now with the puns. Uh-huh.
But I love the fact, you know, hibernation is fascinating. I think growing up, I just think they slept for that time. But yep. We're going to get into a little bit more.
We're going to learn a little bit more on some of the science of that and some of the details of it, because it's a little bit different than what you think.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, reptiles have their version of hibernation called brumation. And that's where they slow down their metabolism to conserve energy during the colder months, like it is right now outside. It's like hitting the pause button on their activity, which I've been doing a little bit during these cold months as well. We won't talk about that too much.
Right.
Yeah.
And during brumation, alligators can stay submerged underwater for hours without coming up for air.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. A lot of reptiles do that. I guess that's the reptilian version of hibernation, brumation, because I think both of them have to do with the cold weather coming on and how their bodies rest and recover during that time. So,
you know, what's really interesting, we had that total eclipse happen here in Little Rock last year. And even when the total eclipse happened, we saw some of the animals display a little bit of unusual behaviors here at the zoo.
Some of those animals thought it was nighttime, while others were snoring away. As if it were nighttime. And yep. I remember talking to some of the keepers.
Yep.
Talking to some of the keepers, some of the animals were actually lining up to go to their indoor areas when we got the total darkness, because they thought it was time for night.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that we all have different sleep behavior.
We have those kind of internal clocks.
We do.
We definitely do. You know, and as climate change and habitat loss continues to impact animal populations, studying their behavior and their biology is even more important now than ever for ensuring their survival in the wild.
For sure. And learning how we can be helpful to them and their areas where they need to hibernate and keeping those areas safe for them.
Absolutely. You know, hibernating animals need to remain undisturbed to successfully survive the winter months. Disruption of their hibernation can be life-threatening, as it can lead to premature depletion of their energy reserves and making them vulnerable to starvation and to other health issues. Animals emerging from hibernation permanently may also struggle to find food sources and shelter, and increasing their risk of not surviving. So, Joy, I want to go back to talking a little bit more about bears, because bears are just so fascinating. And their hibernation is a lot of times misunderstood. So let's talk a little bit about that, because hibernation sounds great to humans, but it's not simply just sleeping through the winter.
Oh?
Hibernation is one of nature's most remarkable survival strategies, and it allows certain animals to survive extreme environmental conditions when food is scarce. And hibernation is not just a deep sleep. It is a state of dormancy that is often characterized by significantly reduced metabolic activity, heart rate, and bodily temperature. And this state is different from normal sleep because it involves more profound physiological changes to conserve energy for survival. And, you know, a lot of times with bears, they're going into this state because of reproductive reasons and, of course, because of survival. So we're going to talk a little bit about mama bear and what that means for mama bear. So it's a very, very interesting thing when we talk about hibernation and bears. So let's get into that a little bit.
And, you know, most people may think that hibernation is when bears just find a cozy place to lay down and catch some Z's until spring returns. But it actually is a response to the cold environments that they may be living in.
Yep.
Like you said, when conserving their energy, when food gets scarce. And kind of to repeat what you said, they're not just sleeping when they're hibernating. It's actually a long-term state of torpor during which all metabolic activities, like their heart rate and their metabolic rate, comes down. Their body temperature does as well. And it's different from sleep, because sleep is a shorter amount of time when that brain activity slows in humans and other animals.
Yep, no doubt. You know, bears are not just sleeping when they hibernate, which I think is really, really fascinating. That state of torpor is just really interesting to me, and what's going on in that state. And, you know, I just have to say, I think we all get a little bit more sluggish during the winter seasons. I think that me, myself, I've gotten a little bit more sluggish. I do have to say, I think I probably packed on a few more of the LBs here. Definitely.
Just have a little thing right there? Because I've actually heard, I remember, I think it was an NPR article that was a sort of interview. So they actually said we are evolutionarily disposed to wanting more caloric intake.
Okay, I'm blaming it on just like the
during the winter months. And okay. It's cold. So yes, we may all do a little extra, but I think our bodies are craving it because that was how we were made.
Okay, so maybe we have our own state of torpor as humans. We're gonna be just like the bears, living in that state of long term.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Yep. So during that hibernation, as their heart rate slows, the breathing slows down, that body temperature slowing down. What I also found fascinating, kind of like we were stating before, their heart rate slows. Can you imagine 8 to 12 beats per minute?
That's
insane. Yeah. That's like nothing. That is so sluggish.
Right. It is.
I mean, that is unreal to me. And how slow that is.
It goes back to that conservation of energy because that heart is beating as fast and they don't need to call on the calories that they've...
That's right. You don't need a lot of calories when your heart rate is that slow. So to prepare for hibernation, bears gorge themselves. Just like I did the holidays.
Are you part bear? Am I part... I don't know. I might be.
So they double down on their weight for a long period. They will not eat or drink. And then during hibernation, they will lose half their body weight. Now, I'm full.
So who would sign up for this?
During hibernation to lose half their body while they're hibernating?
You get to party up until the months that you get to go.
That's right.
And when you wake, it's a party. You're skinny.
What would I do, man? Go skinny. Count me in.
There might be something to that. Maybe we just need to put ourselves to sleep when we can wake up skinny. This is going to be the newest weight loss.
I think we should try to.
Oh, boy. Don't say that.
Figure out how to do that.
Look out. Look out. Bears do wake up several times during their hibernation, though, and it's kind of a little bit of a grogginess. You know, I've seen this, actually, with our grizzlies. When we had our grizzly bears, they would go into hibernation. You would see this kind of groggy kind of wake up when they would go into. It was very fascinating to see them do this. And they can do this. Like if there's a threat, they will wake up.
Yeah.
They will respond to that threat if they need to. So, you know, don't be fooled. They can also give birth during this, which is also pretty fascinating.
I was like, what in the world?
Could you imagine
being like fully-ish asleep, but yet a cub emerges?
But maybe that's the way to do it. Who knows? So whether females give birth in the den is dependent on how much they manage to eat in the fall. Isn't that interesting? Female bears have delayed implantation and induced ovulation, meaning that when the bears mate, that could be dependent on what happens. So it could be dependent on when the egg begins to develop and then stops waiting until the mother bear has settled down for hibernation and then before implantation in the uterine wall, and that continues the development. That depends on how much fat she has managed to put on. The egg may develop into a litter of one or more cubs. So it just kind of depends.
Let's go back to that for just a little bit.
Yeah.
So basically, the bear can go to sleep with a fertilized egg.
That's right.
And that fertilized egg can just kind of hang out and decide whether or not it's time to implant.
The fertilized egg does not immediately implant in the uterus and start to develop.
Man, that is amazing.
That it does with humans. Right.
It just can hang out until it decides it wants to start becoming a cub.
Yep.
Until the conditions are right.
That's right.
How much food am I
fascinating.
Need,
yep.
How much fat shit. When I learned that, I was just beside myself.
Yeah.
Creatures are amazing.
They really are. Nature is amazing. It is amazing.
So hibernation, the duration of it varies based on where that bear actually is located. The geographic location has an impact on that.
Yeah.
And also food availability for what that animal is able to eat.
Right.
Beforehand. In cooler areas like Alaska, bears hibernate longer than bears in milder areas, which makes sense to me.
I think that's amazing.
Stay indoors. Conditions warmer. And then it can also vary on species.
The species was interesting to me, too. So that black bears only hibernate for 3 to 7 months, and the grizzlies hibernate for 5 to 7 months, which I thought was interesting, too, that there's a little bit of a difference in the time.
So I want to be a grizzly in Alaska so I can sleep long.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. Don't they eat, they eat salmon, don't they? Yeah, and they get the salmon.
They're good salmon. Imagine their salmon, yeah.
Yeah, they get the good salmon.
They do that. And, you know, there are other animals that kind of participate in these dormancy type of phases or hibernation. There are snails who might attach themselves to surfaces and cover themselves with slime for their dormancy period. And there's also a species of wood frog that can survive being frozen and thawed a few times now. Frozen and thawed a few times during that season, and that's thanks to a unique natural substance in their blood.
That just makes me want to curl up in your blanket.
You know, my sleep blanket. That's, I was like, how interesting that, I mean, because you might walk upon a frog and think it's dead, but it's just hibernating or dormancy state for when it gets thaw out.
Ooh,
interesting. So interesting.
So I think we need to also talk a little bit about the difference between hibernation and brumation.
Okay.
Yep, because those are kind of two different things. So talking about our reptile friends that like to brumate. So you've heard of hibernation. So how about brumation? And there's also, I just recently learned of estivation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excited to learn.
So they all describe the same, and they're different survival tactics that we've recently learned about. But the primary difference lies in the trigger for these states. So estivation, I'm really, really just fascinated by, because I just learned about this. And that's a response to heat and drought. So you go into estivation if you're an animal. And that's fascinating to me. We're going to learn a little bit more about that when we have a special guest that comes on later. But reptiles like snakes and lizards often find an unused burrow and settle in to wait out the cold because they're cold-blooded, and that's brumation.
Well, so we've talked a little bit already about hibernation and for our bear friends and brumation for our reptiles, and a little bit on estivation. We said that's the difference when, because hibernation and brumation is when it gets cold and those animals go into the dormancy.
Yeah.
Estivation is when it gets hot in drought-like temperatures.
Right.
And what those animals do to kind of...
Yeah, I'm eager to learn more about this.
Me too. So I think we've got a special guest who's going to come in and teach us a little bit more about estivation. So let's get ready for Hannah.
Let's welcome Hannah and her special guest.
Yes. So, Hannah, thank you for coming here.
I'm excited to be here.
So, who did you bring us today?
Okay, this is Tut. Tut is an Egyptian tortoise. Check him out. He's awesome.
Yes,
he is. They're not, they don't exist in Egypt. So why are they called Egyptian? Okay, so I laugh. It's actually sad because these guys were, they're from the arid desert regions of the Mediterranean. So they were once native to Egypt, Libya, and Israel. They're extinct in Egypt.
Oh,
so
wow.
Which we'll talk more about that too. But this is a critically endangered species.
Wow.
So, and he is full grown. This is his.
Oh, yes, I get it. That's it.
So tiny they are. This is actually the second smallest tortoise in the world.
Wow.
And the reason I wanted to bring him is because these guys do estivate.
Okay.
So now that you guys are experts on that, like I said, these guys are from the arid desert-like regions of northern Africa. And near the Mediterranean, so it gets really, really hot there, right? So what he's going to do is he's going to find like a rodent burrow. He's going to go underground, slow down his metabolism. The goal there, instead of conserving calories because there is not food, like in the winter, his goal there is to make sure he doesn't dehydrate or get too hot. So it is very, very similar physiologically to brumation. It's just because it's hot.
So because of the lesser amount of water is why they
I'm
doing that. So does he drink extra water before he goes?
I'm actually really excited that you brought that up. So you know how if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're tired and you start feeling around because you want to drink, but you're not actually totally awake. That's what these guys do during brumation and estivation. So they all do still drink water. So even though they are asleep, they do get up just like I did last night. Fill your way through the kitchen, find some water, because they still can dehydrate and they do need to be able to drink water, but they do not eat. So It's really important, especially during brumation, that they don't eat. And that's because they can't actually move the food through their system anymore because they've slowed down so much.
How?
Our alligator that we have at the zoo, Mr. Amos, he stops eating in about October. He's outside brumating right now because their body temperature, everything slows way down. They actually slow their heart rate all the way down to 3 beats per minute. So you thought the bear was impressed per minute.
Asshole.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is wild.
It is. That's amazing.
So speaking of brumation too, I did want to bring something up. The animal person in me just had to say something about this.
Sure.
So bears do hibernate in a sense,
yeah,
but they are not true hibernators.
Really?
Did you guys know that?
No, we didn't know it.
So the only difference really is their body temperature doesn't drop as drastically as it does for a true hibernator.
Okay.
So examples of true hibernators are like ground squirrels, some bat species, hedgehogs, things like that.
Yeah.
And that's because their body temperature is drastically lowered. Bears goes down a little bit, but it stays
a tight.
It's like a light sleep for bears.
Yeah, the torpor. It's like
the torpor that we talked about.
It's a diet.
It's kind of like we talked about. Yeah, they're able to still defend themselves.
Exactly.
And they're able. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And does this little friend have a name?
Yes, his name is Tut because obviously Egyptian tortoise. And he has an interesting story because like I mentioned, these guys are critically endangered. He was a government confiscation. That's how we got him.
Oh, wow. Illegal.
Yeah, probably.
Probably from the illegal pet trade. Yes.
So two of the biggest threats they face in the wild are habitat loss because as, of course, human populations are expanding, they're losing their habitat. Mm. And then collection for the pet trade because he is very small and he's very cute. They're not illegal to have everywhere, but you've got to make sure when you get a pet that you're getting them from, you know, a reputable source.
Well, that's part of the reason why we discourage the ownership of animals like this is because it's so hard to know the source and where they're coming from.
Exactly. Correct. Always do your research before you get a pet. I did, unless y'all are going to stop me here, have more brumation I wanted to talk about.
Of course.
Because I brought this up to you yesterday when we were talking about this episode. Susan, do you know who's brumating at the zoo right now? That's very important for us.
Tell me.
It's our collared lizards.
So that's a great thing to talk all about.
Yes.
There's great things to talk about.
Yes. So our zoo, the Little Rock Zoo, is part of a conservation effort group along with Game and Fish and UCA and U of A and a couple other partners to help save collared lizards in the wild from extinction in Arkansas. So ours are part of a Head Start program. So we are breeding and releasing eastern collared lizards into Arkansas environments. And a critical part of them being able to reproduce and breed is brumation.
Yes,
because it is. Actually helps them produce the reproductive hormones. So they have to brumate.
I see.
So we've got our guys in like a specific, very controlled brumation situation right now.
That's amazing.
The old brumation situation, if you will.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. So it's very near and dear to our hearts, and we didn't realize.
And we're really proud to be part of that that program to breed the collared lizards for release.
Yeah. They are a species of conservation concern in Arkansas, so they're not endangered everywhere, but they are a big deal in Arkansas. So we're doing our part to help those guys in the wild.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, Susan, this has been great
to
talk today about hibernation, brumation, and nestivation.
Yes, nestivation and new things we've learned.
Who knew?
Yeah.
And having Hannah here, of course. As climate change and habitat loss continue to impact animal populations, studying their behavior and biology is more important than ever to ensuring their survival in our world. And I'm so glad that we have this opportunity to have this platform to talk about those things.
Oh, absolutely. You know, hibernating animals need to remain undisturbed to successfully survive the winter months, and disruption of their hibernation can be life-threatening. And it can lead to premature depletion of their energy reserves, making them vulnerable to starvation and other health issues. And so making sure that we protect their habitats is so critically important. Animals emerging from hibernation prematurely may also struggle to find food sources for shelter, increasing their risk of not surviving. So the more that we can do to raise awareness about protecting their environments, it's just so important, Joy.
That there are things that we can do.
Yes.
A couple of them are staying on designated paths. Like if you're taking a hike or out in a wilderness area, stay on the paths where you're supposed to be so that you don't disturb any wildlife that may be in a deep sleep, deep hibernation in their areas.
And it's also just for your own safety, too. You know, I recently started becoming an avid hiker and love to do it, especially here in Arkansas, the natural state. And there's so many great places to go hiking. And it's important for safety, but also just for wildlife and for their safety.
Sure. I'm also avoiding feeding wildlife.
Very important.
They rely on their natural strengths and to survive and their natural energies. So just making sure that we're not disturbing what their eating patterns are and let them do that naturally.
That's right.
Prepare for their everyday life and also as they're preparing for these dormancy periods.
That's right. And human food is not something that wild animals need to eat.
And then this last one, I think people might be more familiar with it, keeping quiet in some natural areas. And I'll add another one too, making sure that you don't have artificial light in some areas. I know this is important. I've seen it when my family and I have traveled to Singer Island in Florida.
Yeah.
In some of those times when those animals are trying to mate and reproduce,
that's right.
It will reduce light.
Yes.
There. And
light pollution is an issue.
Yeah. Light pollution and just making sure that you're keeping quiet and keeping noise to a minimum as well.
That's right.
So that they can continue to have their natural behaviors.
All those simple little things that we can do to help wildlife.
Exactly.
So important.
Who knew? So those are the things that we can use to make sure that what we've learned today, we can actually enact and put into practice.
Those are great things, Joy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we've had such a great day talking about animals, talking about sleep, one of my favorite things. I know one of yours, too. We're going to have some good sleep tonight, thinking about our animal friends in the wild. So thanks so much for being here with me today, Joy.
Yes.
Really appreciate that. And we really appreciate all of you for listening to That's Wild. It's been a great day and a great time having you with us on the That's Wild podcast. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Susan Altrui, joined here with my co-host, Joy Matlock. Be sure to join us again for another episode of That's Wild.
Thank you. See you next time. Yeah.